Welcome to Ixnay, the podcast where we take a deep dive into the shallow end of the electorate as a means to gaming the 2020 election to our advantage. Turn on, tune in, vote out. Hey, all right. With Trump encouraging trigger-happy citizens to get in between police and protesters, we'd like to share a first-hand account of the deadly interaction from the front lines of Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'm Trace Crutchfield, and this is Ixnay. After the Jacob Blake shooting and ensuing nights of unrest burned down local businesses, Jim Milardo made a decision. He and his friends would attend a downtown protest armed, not with automatic weapons designed to kill human beings, but with fire extinguishers. This is the story of a group of local skateboarding friends who took the unusual approach to be both protester and protector. Their intent was not to discourage protest or even resistance, but to be present to save things that make their city a community. There was a hope they could at least mitigate the unnecessary destruction that's been happening under the cover of civil disobedience in cities across America. As you will hear, Jim's decision to take to the streets that night as a kind of civic caretaker, as admirable as it was, put him and his friends in a surprisingly tough spot. They hadn't imagined their turn at Good Samaritan would put them in the crosshairs of three competing groups. They'd be forced to contend with what Jim calls the inciters, or protesters there just to fuck shit up, but also the armed and unqualified cosplayers like Kyle Rittenhouse, one of the wannabe Facebook militia people given tacit license by the powers that be to shoot people dead. Plus, of course, local police, who in playing its soldier while clearing the streets that night, had squeezed the protesters, including Jim and his friends, into what turned out to be a kill zone. Jim Milardo, welcome to Ixnay.
Hey.
So, you live there in Kenosha, and tell us a story. What happened, I guess we could start at the very beginning, on the 23rd when Jacob Blake got shot, what did you think at first, and then maybe what happened starting then?
That whole situation, just because I don't jump to conclusions and everything, and still not doing that to this point to a certain extent, I was in Texas on a vert ramp with Mike Crum.
Oh, okay.
At his vert ramp, and I was getting ready to gear up and skate vert with all these people, and I got a phone call from my wife, and she told me what happened, and she goes, that's like blocks away from our house. That's over by the house. I was like, oh God, this is going to be awful. Like, I can't see this going well in Kenosha, and at the time we're at right now with all the stuff that has happened in the past few years, after George Floyd, like, it's just, you know where stuff's going to go probably.
Well, let's talk about what happens on Tuesday. I know from the public record that on Tuesday is the day that the family has the press conference. Mm-hmm. Jacob Blake's family seems totally cool. I mean, beyond way more cool than I would be, or maybe I imagine you would be. The father's like, this was terrible. He's my son. The mom is like, let's get it together. But what I heard was that then that night, the city had a citywide alert that said, there's a curfew. Everybody needs to go home. And then, so where were you at that point? Kind of at like that night when they told you everybody needs to go home. Were you already out in the street?
No. So my game plan the next morning is, it got to the point where I was talking to a bunch of friends and they're like, we're going to the protest and we're going to do this. I'm like, oh man.
And that's a downtown protest, right? Down by the courthouse.
Yeah. Downtown in front of the courthouse. So my reaction was, okay, that's really close to my house. Like, I'd say, you know, we're near maybe five blocks down from the main intersection, right by the corner house or so. You know, really, I could go around the corner from my house and look down the street and almost see the intersection where the courthouse is, but it's around the curve on Sheridan. So I told my wife and kids, I'm like, I need you to go out of town, go to Illinois by my dad's house, go to his house and just get out of here. I don't know where this is going to go off. I'm staying here. I'm going out with a group of friends. I am going to work on getting fire extinguishers. And my game plan is to grab these friends that are going there. They're intending on going there to make their voice heard, to tell, you know, tell the police how they feel, and just, you know, be part of the protests with BLM movement and other movements that are there.
But in a peaceful way, right? In a peaceful way. They're not planning
in a peaceful way. Right. Well, a few of my friends were like, if somebody's beating up on somebody and starts problems, they're going to whoop their ass.
Yeah, that was their attitude. Yeah. Totally understood.
So for the most part, I told them, I was like, I'm going to go down there. I pick up a bunch of fire extinguishers, probably about, I don't know where, $600 worth of fire extinguishers. And my game plan is just to stay on the outskirts of protests. I've never even been to a protest, let alone this heated of a protest.
Yeah.
We're going to stay on the outskirts. And I got multiple friends that are going to be sending me messages telling me where fires are. And we're going to try and put out the beginning of these fires. Not like if a house is burning up and going crazy. Right. You know, I'm not going to do anything.
You had collected all these fire extinguishers, and you're going to go put out little fires, not running into a house or.
Yeah, no. I'm not running into a house. Car's on fire in the middle of the street. Let it burn. It's just a car, whatever, as long as nobody's in it.
And you also, my guess is that you're not thinking about risking yourself. There's a bunch of lunatics fighting around the fire to run in there with your, for the most part, run in with
your fire extinguisher. I don't want to get into any fights with anybody, but I'm also not going to let somebody hurt somebody.
Understood.
That's where we all were on the same page. And so.
And how many of you guys is that thereabouts? A dozen or?
No, there was only about seven of us. I put a call out on Facebook. And then I figured a lot of people in town would see that. But I think a lot of people are just like, they either didn't want to go down there, or they were scared of the whole getting in the mix of stuff. If they were down there, they were outskirters where it was just sitting on the outskirt, watching stuff happen.
Right.
And so we grabbed all those people. They met at my house and we met some people down there and then just kept the fire extinguishers in a truck nearby. My one friend kept all of them in the back of the truck, and we had our skateboards. So most of us had skateboards, and we were just, you know, sitting there, and I was trying to live stream. I live streamed some stuff. If I wasn't putting out fires or dealing with picking people out of tear gas or something, I was live streaming most of the time, on and off. Sometimes I've never live streamed really.
Was that the first time you've been in tear gas as well?
Yeah. Yeah, really? That was the first time I ever dealt with tear gas, but
that's a lot of learning in one day. Tear gassing, fire, live streaming.
Yeah,
what I meant mostly was not the effects of tear gas on you physically, but kind of the idea of just seeing tear gas. Right? It's a different world. You know, I mean, we talk sometimes about guns, and you know, holding a gun is like another piece of jewelry until you get ready to use it. And then things change completely, right?
Right,
you
know, right.
I mean, just like hunting an animal, not shooting at a person. So experiences are totally different. When you see something in real life that you've seen on the news or you read about anecdotally, it's a different vibe, man, when people are logging, you know.
When the first experience with tear gas that night really didn't faze me. I was tyrannating and I had my handkerchief over my face. Okay. So I was good. And I was just like, you know, trying not to take gulps of air. Yeah. So we just got together at my house. We went down there real early. It was still light out and it was pretty hot. And it was really tame when we first got down there, and people were talking on loudspeakers and stuff. And you could see, you know, there was a pretty good group forming, and I heard the group the night before was way bigger, way bigger. That's what everybody in that was with me said. They're like, there was way more people here last night. I was like, oh, that makes me feel better. I'm like, then we're not dealing with so many numbers, and look at what they did last night. So maybe we won't get as many fires. Maybe hopefully we don't get any fires. So I was really positive.
That made you hopeful that there was less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where we were at on that. And then stuff started getting rough once it started getting dark.
Yeah.
You know, crowds were going at it, yelling at the police, you know, throwing, some people were throwing stuff. For the most part, the BLM movement was grouped together and they were being voiced, voicing their concerns and their opinions towards everything that's happened and calling for justice. And it was good. I was like, wow, this is good. But then it turned at one point, and then I'd say within 20 minutes in my head, I don't know how long it was now thinking back to it, but it went from that to the crowd, somebody in the crowd shooting mortars of fireworks and stuff, and the police shooting tear gas and rubber bullets and the sonic device that was real loud and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So that stuff was happening. But before that, we got a call about a fire somewhere. We drove there, me and my one friend in the truck. We beat the military or whoever it was, the reserve, and the fire department there. There was nothing going on. We pulled up and people were watching over the place. We're like, everything okay here? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, let's get out of here. And then
it was a false alarm, essentially.
Gotcha. There was no fire. So that was the first incident. And there's a few other ones in the night that were in the area out on the outskirts of fires, but not in the protest area that we saw.
Gotcha.
So what happened was it got really heated and they pushed everybody out of the park with one of the sheriff armored vehicles. And they were announcing stuff from another vehicle. And in my live stream, you can see a lot of the stuff that I saw. And they were trying to push people back. And I have to say this too, because I have some mental notes that I needed to remember to tell you guys. And this protest, a lot of people don't realize that it's in a park in downtown. The courthouse is north. West is a dinosaur museum. East is the post office and Sheridan Road. Then south is the high school. There are snipers with whatever guns they have. Just the fact that there was people in the windows and on the roof and behind us and in front of us. The ones behind us weren't doing anything, but they were there. And a lot of people didn't see that. Other two buildings, I didn't see anybody, but I was really aware of my surroundings that whole night because my agenda I was part of the protest. I knew I was going to be part of the protest because I'm just as disgruntled as some of the people there, where some of the people, they're way more disgruntled and they want change just like me. But it was weird because that's such a contained protest. And the big problem that I saw that night, other than the shootings and how everything went off and the fires, is the fact that they pushed all those people down Sheridan Road south. And then they pushed them towards the neighborhood and businesses. They pushed past some businesses, but they mostly pushed towards the neighborhood. And they pushed towards this gas station where the shooter was originally, and all these armed civilians. And I've made the mistake in the past calling them a militia. They are not a militia. Those are armed civilians grouping up and just not really there to be, you know, non-lethal. These guys have lethal rounds in their guns.
Yeah, they're not there with rubber bullets.
Right. And at one point I had told the one guy from the one armed civilian, I go, this is awful. You guys are all armed and they're pushing everybody back. They're going to see you guys with your assault rifles and stuff. This is going to be awful. And he had said something along the lines of like, well, they know we're here. Mm. And I go, they know you're here. And he goes, yeah, they know we're here. I was like, oh, I just sat back. I didn't say nothing to nobody. I was with my group of people. And we just, my friend Billy had just put out a fire in the dumpster. They lit a dumpster on fire, pushed it towards the gas station at that point. And I've jumped ahead a little bit past the situations of pushing down that street and watching all this stuff happen, picking people out of tear gas. You know, people are yelling medic. A lot of the medics that were in the protest, they were helping people with water and stuff on their eyes and milk. And so this fire is in this dumpster. We come skating around the corner. We got a call that the fire was in the dumpster.
Wow.
Billy runs up, pulls the pin, shoots the fire out. And the protesters, the group of them, are like, you're either with us or against us. And we're like, we're with you. Yep. And they're throwing shit at us. That's when they started trying to assault us mildly. And I got hit in the shin by a full-size parking cone. Somebody whipped it at my shin from the group. And so we were just sitting by. They tried throwing a metal garbage can at us. And we just shoot it away. And he's just yelled at the top of his lungs. He's like, I'm with you. I just don't want to see my city fucking burn to the ground. That's what he yelled at them. So we're going back and forth. And so shortly after that, the first guy that got shot, he was saying stuff with holding his bag. He was the insider that died, the first one that got shot. Mm-hmm. He was starting with one of the guys, and I couldn't see who he was starting with because I was watching him, and he was yelling all the stuff that's on video that I had briefly saw. I haven't watched all the videos that are out there because it's just I have to just disconnect from it as much as possible on that aspect. I don't even want to watch any more videos ever again about it, to tell you the truth. So he was saying the stuff to shoot me, nigga, and this and that. I was standing right there. My friend Billy was standing right there. All our group was standing there. We were listening to it. And he was out of control.
And he's talking to the armed guys.
I don't know who he was talking to. And then shortly after that, among the crowd, they chased after somebody. And I don't think it was him, but they chased after somebody. And I asked around why they were chasing at somebody. Somebody had mentioned, two people have mentioned, now that you think about it, there was two people that had mentioned that somebody pistol whipped a woman. So I don't know if that's true or if it's just some people just blowing stuff out of proportion, but that's what was said among the group of people that were there. I'm like, ooh, and they chased after somebody. I don't know what happened. I'm sure that will come out later if it hasn't already come out. So then we get a call that there's a fire down the street from the gas station. Not down Sheridan, but one of the side streets. I skate down the street down to that. By the time I got down there, some of the military or the sheriff's department were down there with a fire truck. Car was totally ablaze. It was totally burnt. And so I turned around. I was like, they got it. So my whole group was skating down. They're like, what's going on? Something's on fire. I was like, yeah, it's good. Let's go back this way because fire department's got it. They got it. And the cops are there, or whoever is pushing in these sheriff vehicles. It had to have been the sheriff's department and the police. So we go back down the Sheridan Road and we're down there watching stuff go on, back in watching mode. We got our fire extinguishers and there's another fire back down north of the gas station. So I go down there and I think I'm the only one at that time. I couldn't see any of the other group. I kind of separated from them and I stood by and there was a fire being set in the middle of the street, like off to the corner on the one corner. And there was nothing around there that could burn. So I just stood there and watched. And I had somebody come up to me and go, you gotta be careful, man. You guys are getting attacked here. I go, I know. I was like, if I do put it out, if it gets out of control, I'll start putting it out and keep it out in the street and stuff, but I'm not doing nothing until then. And so.
Yeah. You're in a weird position a little bit, right? You guys are trying to do the right thing, but the insiders are ready to, they see you as the enemy, right? I get it.
Some of the protesters too, I was worried about them thinking that we were with those armed civilians, you know, because we come running up behind them with our boards And I think a lot of the people just took it as common sense. These are guys that are just going to put out fires. They're skateboarders.
Yeah.
Thinking the skateboarders, you know, we have an attitude where we're not going to be part of some dudes with armed, totally armed with lethal weapons. So I just sat back and I let it burn. And then I got a text and one of my friends came up to me, Billy, and he rolled up to me. And he goes, what's going on? I was like, we're not putting this one out. It's in the street. Fuck it. I'm not going to deal with it. So we start going south on Sheridan. And then we get a call that there's a van on fire south on Sheridan from us. And me and Billy skate our asses through the crowd. And we get down the street and we roll up. And that's when all the shit hit the fan, like real hardcore. So me and Billy roll up to the van. The doors are open on the van, the sliding or opening door on the back left and the driver's side. Driver's side seat is on fire. So we roll up. There's a guy harpooning a windshield to the left of us. And then another guy busting windows on a car on the other side of the van. Well, I go to put out the fire and I click my fire extinguisher. And it's not doing nothing. And then Billy's like, I got it. He puts the fire out. I back up. I'm looking around. I look to the guys. I'm like, listen, one guy's trying to put the one car on fire. I'm like, dude, please don't put that car on fire. It's way too close to that house. And it turned out not to be a house later the next day. I saw it was a garage. But anyways, that doesn't change the situation. I thought it was a house. I was like, please don't burn that car. And the dude's just breaking shit. I was like, I'm serious, dude. And I'm going out at it with him, telling him, and all of a sudden I hear gunshots. I'm like, fuck, where's that popping off? Everybody's running for their lives everywhere, screaming and like, dude, shooter. Hear all this stuff. It's just going in my ear. I'm like, what? So I peek around and I'm looking around. I don't see nothing because that kid at that moment was running towards where we were on that automotive place on the right side of the van where we were putting out the fire on the left side, if that makes sense. So there was, one, two, third car over. He ran up behind another car parked out, and I think it's in a video, and that one insider chased him and threw something at him. He threw his bag of garbage, whatever the hell was in it, and he threw it at him, missed him, and he turned over his shoulder in the video that I saw. When that was going on, we were by the van, and I had popped out and looked after I heard gunshots when he shot the insider. So he was the first set of shots that went off.
Oh man.
And then I peeked out back the van. I looked right down the street, saw people running, looking around. I couldn't see nothing because they were to the left of me on the other side of the van. And he had put the guy down in front of the cars. So I couldn't see any of that from where I was. So I go back to Billy. I'm like, there's shots fired, man. It's time to get the fuck out of Dodge. That's why I told him. I was like, we got to get the fuck out of Dodge right now. I told you gunshots were out. And he's like, bet, let's get out of here. So he's doing stuff and we're like sitting there waiting. And then we hear more gunshots and Billy's like, oh fuck. So we didn't see that happen. And I was like looking around and people are yelling. And I look out in the street and that's when I saw Anthony Lane not moving in the street. And the other guy holding his arm yelling, medic, medic, medic. And then the shooter backed up towards the police and stuff. He was going towards them and I could barely see him and make him out because their spotlights were on that street.
Right. He was backlit. Kind of.
He was backlit. And so I backed up and I was like, Billy, I grabbed him by the arm. I was like, we're out. And we grabbed our boards. We held our boards above our head and the fire extinguishers with our other arm. And we ran across the street towards the hospital. And at that moment they had brought the guy who got shot in the arm and Anthony to the hospital. So we didn't see them. They picked them up super quick. And in the seconds that occurred of us just being like hiding behind the van and kind of looking out to see what is going on. Mm-hmm. And so then we ran across and we regrouped with all our friends and headed back home. after that, pretty much. And that was the end of our night for that situation of like conflict.
So had you seen Anthony, who was your friend or someone you knew, at least from skateboarding?
He was one of the guys that skateboarded at the park that we skate at and stuff. And he has been around at events and stuff. And I didn't know him by name. And that night I saw him and a girl next to him. And I don't know who she was, but they were around the whole night, kind of sidelining in the mix. They weren't throwing anything. He wasn't looting. He wasn't breaking anything. He wasn't starting with nobody. No. I can honestly say that this is a fact. This isn't speculation on my part. And I know this because I watched him most of the time. I seen all these people. When you're around for
especially
hours.
Especially when someone you know, and it's someone you know or recognize.
At the time, all I knew is he was one of the skateboarders from town. I could tell by recognizing, you know, all the skateboarders. And there's a few guys that had longboards. I don't know who the hell they are. I'm a skateboarder. Longboarding, not to start a division between
those
two.
That's a whole different podcast.
No. You got to understand something. When you skateboard in a town and you see all the other skateboarders, you know, and sometimes it's like at a point where like, man, I don't know that dude's name, but I see him all the time. Like,
gotcha. Of course.
And that's where it was with him. And this girl, I'd never seen her before, but she was with him. She was with him most of the day that it looked like they were together. And
I think I've seen some interviews with her where she said she was like his girlfriend, I think, or
that's his girlfriend. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it's just all facts of what I saw,
but
I can say without a doubt that he was one of the people that was not inciting. I saw some of the insiders and some of them are hard to depict because they all had masks on naturally. Mm-hmm. He had stuff on, but like he wasn't doing nothing. He wasn't doing anything. And he just saw, I think he reacted the same thing, same way me and Billy and some of the guys I was with, he acted the same way we would have acted. And if I would have been closer to that shooter, I would have tried to disarm him too, because they were yelling. He just shot somebody. And he's the dude running with a AR down the street, you know, by himself. Yeah. That's where he fucked up upon fucking up is like that kid ran from the group over at the gas station. And it's just speculation that maybe he was running towards the auto repairs place because he thought stuff was being damaged, which doesn't justify with an AR, you know. Burn it. Break it. You know, you go into a Target and you steal stuff and run out, the police do not shoot you. You are not even a police officer. You are not even military trained to handle AR. That kid is totally in the wrong. I'm sorry. That's a fact.
You had to even be 18 to be able to do the open carry, and he wasn't even that old.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's so crazy to me because here's something that I think about. It's like, what do you think when you hear the president essentially giving these guys tacit approval to go out there, what they call it defending, but you're right. They're just there because there's nothing else for them to do. It's jewelry or they shoot at someone.
That's definitely a two-part question. Two ways to take that question.
Well, I'm just thinking that.
You're asking what I think if a president does that or the president we have right now.
The president we have right now
that sticks his foot in his mouth all the time. And I hate to take a stance of like, I'm against this guy. Saying I'm not against him. Say I'm one of those people that's not against Trump. He says stuff that even if I wasn't against him, I'd be like, oh, God, can you not say that? You're really saying some awful stuff. Like, if he doesn't mean it, he shouldn't be saying it. And I don't agree with what he's saying, even if I was for him, and I am not, just to make that clear. I'm not backing that guy in any way, shape, or form because of some of the stuff I've heard him say and some of the stuff he's done. Like, I don't know how United States politics works. It's like, I'm in the position where if I was to go to an MMA match and I've never had MMA training, I could have my opinions on stuff totally fully about MMA, but I've never fought in a match. Gotcha. I've never worked in U.S. politics. I've never dealt with stuff behind closed doors. I don't trust the United States politics to a certain extent. And some of that might be for our own good on some levels. But what I feel is it's not always that case. It seems like it's there. These agendas, just like the agenda of pushing everybody out of that contained area, there's no good reason for that in my eyes. If somebody could show me that, show me where it's a good idea to push a bunch of unarmed civilians other than with rocks and some fireworks towards that. And I will say this, there was a guy walking around with a bayonet. It's Kenosha. There's a lot of crazy people in Kenosha. You know, who's walking around with a bayonet? You know, you got people with spears and like shields, that's on par with that craziness. So with that being said, you know, you got people with hunting rifles just walking around. They weren't even with those guys at the gas station. I saw them. They were up towards the protests at the courthouse. I was just like, I watched four people get out of separate trucks. Some of the rednecks with hunting rifles. I'm like, what? What are you hunting here at this moment?
There's only one thing. They're coming to hunt one thing.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I think what was interesting when you told the story that some of the first armed guys that you saw at the gas station had said, they know we're here. The police know we're here. And it has turned out that they welcomed them there and that they did kind of say, oh, we're happy to have you here. And one of the things that is really interesting is when you see the kid, we shouldn't even call him a kid, 17. You know, sometimes it's like 17's a kid, sometimes 17's not a kid. Anyway, so when he's walking away with the gun after shooting Anthony and the other guy in the arm, and he's just walking towards the cops and all those lights are coming that you said blinded you, he's just got his hands in the air. And we know that the police were coming because shots were fired. The police said, we're coming there because shots were fired. And then you just see this dopey dude walking down the street with a gun. And
if that kid was black, he'd be dead. You know that. I know that. That's a fact. There's no way that kid would have got away with that if he was black or Hispanic or something else. Like, he would have been dead. They would have been like, he's a rioter. He's one of the looters.
Yeah. And his gun is hot. His gun is hot.
It's insane. That whole mentality of them patting him on the back and giving him water.
And let him go home. Oh. He was able to go home.
Exactly.
He was able to leave the scene. Well, see, this is what I'm talking about. What the president exactly said was that, you know, this guy looked like he was in trouble and he really needed to defend himself. But the point is, who was he defending?
No.
The guy didn't need to be
that
there.
That kid's not self-appointing himself as Batman.
That's right.
Just so fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Vigilantism. Like if somebody goes out after that kid because he wrongfully killed somebody and they kill him, they're going to court. Like that kid's got to go to court and he's got to pay the price. And he is a victim in this situation, whether he knew it or not. He is totally a victim in a sense that, like, even if he had best intentions, I'm sorry, if you're going there, best intentions is going there with a fucking fire extinguisher to put out fires, not weapons.
That's an excellent point.
Like I talked to a friend of mine. He had told me, he's like, you're going out with fire extinguishers. I really would not do that. He suggested against it. And I was like, well, he's like, it's going to be violent. There's going to be people with guns and stuff. I was like, ooh, maybe we should have somebody protect us or something. And then I made the easy judgment call. I'm like, no, I'm not even going there with a bat. You know why? I can handle getting a beating from these people. I can handle, I can handle dying and being a martyr. I could handle that. And most of my friends that were there can handle that. But what I can't handle is going there and accidentally hurting somebody and trying to stop people from getting hurt, people from burning stuff. That just goes against any moral that I already have. He's there trying to be a hero. Well, maybe you shouldn't be there with an AR. Heroes don't go there with people unarmed.
Right.
That's it. And then we start dabbling in gun control and stuff. And like, I have views about that on a certain extent. Like when it comes to protecting your home, if I go out like down the street with my protection, that's just reckless. I'm asking for trouble at that point.
They showed up at essentially an imaginary situation too. It wasn't like he ran out of his house to protect something, right? His mom drove him there and dropped him off with ammunition and a gun. I mean,
my wife calls her the overlord. She is an overlord. That's what my wife called her because we have two kids. There's no way. And thinking back to when I was 17, when we were 17, would you ever go to a protest with a gun? Even if you went hunting and gun range and stuff, I know tons of responsible people that would never do that. I got friends that were in town. They have assault rifles and stuff. They're not going down there. They know how that plays out.
Yeah, I grew up in, there's no winning, right? There's no winning. There's no trophy. I grew up in Texas and my dad had been a marksman in the army and we grew up with lots of rifles, shooting targets and loading ammunition. Like we handled guns a lot. My old man was a fucking freak, right? If we pointed the gun anywhere near someone, he would just cuff you. And my dad would have fucking sold me to gypsies before he'd taken me at 17 years old with a gun and a bunch of ammunition somewhere. It's just insane, man. I mean, I don't know what the idea that these guys are defending anything is not true. They're there to go on the offensive. It's just crazy.
I mean, I think on the offense for sure. And going off in a lone wolf situation, that's what that kid did. And like, if he was military trained, he would realize that you don't leave the herd. You know, you don't leave the herd. It's going to be a massacre. That's why that insider probably saw him. And it's just speculation on my part is that when he was out to get him, maybe that's a possibility. Say he was. Second he went from the group, I got him all by myself. And
totally.
I don't
separated
know
him from
all
the
specifics. Yeah, and he separated himself from the herd, and that's dangerous to do that. Go running into a room with 100 people, and you're the only one with a gun, and be like, I've got a gun. Like, that's a bad situation. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen? People are going to try and disarm you.
And the insider, to your point, also made a very poor decision, right? I mean, you may think you can get a gun away from someone, but this is a pretty high, not a percentage, I should say, a low percentage gamble that you're going to disarm someone, even if he looks like he's young, you know? It's just like, dude.
Hasn't shot anybody, but you're going to go do that? Like, that guy was in the wrong 100% for sure.
Exactly. So you're going Anthony.
It's wrong on wrong. It's wrong and wrong at that moment.
I mean,
your story, which I didn't know before this, about going with the fire extinguishers, it seems like the only position for someone to take. I mean, peaceful protesting like the Black Lives Matter, orderly, saying the names, trying to get some attention to the situation. But if you're going to go out in the wild, I mean, I think going with a fire extinguisher is a quite honorable thing. But also, at the same point, I can see that it's also put you in a kind of in a no man's land, right? You're kind of in between the insiders are like, what is
this
guy
doing here?
We
have people trying to take our fire extinguishers.
Well, I would say the last thing is that the difference between the first guy who got killed and your friend Anthony seems, to some people, it might seem like the same bullshit.
Even the third guy, I don't know the story about the third guy. That was a sad situation too. He got shot in the arm and he had a pistol on him, I guess.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him with a pistol in his arm. I think he held his – I think he saw Anthony – what I read was – so Anthony, everyone's like, he shot him. Anthony's kind of booking down the street, or he sees the kid fall, and he kind of goes over with his skateboard, and it looks like he's trying to grab the gun, which is
– somebody kicked him.
In hindsight
– there's a guy that ran by and kicked the kid.
In hindsight, it's not a great idea, but I can see in the heat of the moment, you're like, dude, this guy just shot somebody. He's on the ground. Let me get the gun from him. You know, someone who's athletic and like a skateboarding guy might think, oh, I can do this. Yeah. You know, that's sad. And then the other guy, you know, I don't know. He got shot too, standing over the kid. But he has a gun. You know, it's a little bit different. So the kid actually has maybe some, like, this guy had a handgun on me. If you took everything else that had happened before out of the situation.
Nope.
But the problem is, again, like you've exactly said since the very beginning of this, this shit gets confusing, man. You cannot be out in the middle of this.
That's why a 17-year-old or these guys that are civilians should not be out there with guns.
They cannot get involved. We have a right
to bear arms. I understand that, but that's for defense only in a situation where it's your private property. Yeah. If the owner of that gas station was out there with a gun,
exactly,
I might be able to be like, okay, that's your property, man. I get that.
I think you're exactly right. That's the part of the equation that's like doesn't even jive, right? This kid, not so much that he's just from out of state, but they're like, he has no ties to this community. There's no need for him to be there. No one really asked him to come there.
Right.
And that's why I asked you, like, the president is essentially saying, we need people like this. And I'm like,
that's a great recipe for a civil war. That's a great recipe for a civil war. And civil war is what everybody should be concerned about. And like, to just try and keep it peaceful. Like, we need a president that's going to pull people together, not push them apart. And his comments push people apart. I can't condone that. I can't condone any type of leader of anything. If he was the leader of, the gas station group down there, whatever, that, that guy's definitely to blame too. Accountability is going to be rough on this situation of all these awful incidents that happened that resulted in death or hurt. And it's just like, where's the accountability go down? How deep does it go? And, definitely I would hold the police and whoever made that decision to push people down that street.
Right.
That person, I'd like to know who that person is. Who is accountable to that decision? That decision just blows my mind. Before all that stuff happened, I was just like, when the one guy, the armed civilian said that to me in that group, I was just like, I got to process this. This is going to be a long process on that comment. Because then I don't want to be paranoid to a certain extent, but that really paranoids the shit out of somebody that sees all that stuff happen after that.
Yeah, well, the truth of what happened was is that they funneled you guys in down to a shooting range with a bunch of amateurs.
Like a control point. That's a control point.
And those guys have no responsibility to anyone, right? I mean, the police are what the police are, but sometimes there is accountability in the police, right? But if you're just some dude with a gun out on the street, you don't even have a boss in that sense. And there's just no reason for you to be there if you're not the property owner or you have some real vested interest. I just have a problem with people with guns out in the street like that.
Not
to get into my own complaints.
On any given day, if you go get an AR and walk around down the street, you're going to be either arrested or gunned down. But protests, it's okay, Kenosha. Go ahead, bring your guns down here. This is the police department. We need your support. What?
We've laughed for years. My brother and I have laughed for years that walking around with a gun, it's just a piece of jewelry until you use it. But you don't want to use it, man. There's no winning in using it, ever. You know what I mean? This whole thing that everyone's a hero or a crack shot it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Taser would have been great for that 17-year-old, or maybe some Nerf guns, because it's just like, at that point, like, somebody tases somebody, he could possibly get killed for doing that and start a whole thing on that. Like, even on the lowest level, non-lethal. That kid shouldn't even be having anything. Like, we didn't go down there. Because we're adults and we're out for an agenda of making things safer. And he's like, anybody need a medic? I saw that clip of him saying, anybody need a medic? And the guy's like, man, what are you talking about? I was standing on top of a car and you pointed your gun at me a few minutes ago. I saw that video. That was a video that was just like, what? And then all the other stuff behind all that, past tense of him hitting some girl that was in a fight with another girl. You see all that stuff and you start adding it together. And you know what? There's a side that'll play that on the original shooting of Blake getting shot 7 times in front of his kids. It's just like that whole situation is just, I don't know. Anybody getting shot in front of their kids is just, I don't know. I know some straight up thugs that – they've been in some incidents, and they are tough dudes and menacing dudes. And I don't know any of them that if they had three kids in the backseat of their car, they'd go for a gun. I don't know anybody. Like, I don't know anybody that would do that in front of the cops or anybody else unless somebody had a gun out and they were looking to protect them.
Yeah, there's just so many crazy things to all that, because you would think a police officer knows what kind of damage a bullet does to a human body. And to shoot him seven times, I mean, you got to have the yips pretty fucking bad. And the guy's at point blank range, man.
How about incompetency of letting that guy go around? He's probably like 120 pounds sopping wet. Let him make it around a vehicle to the side door and open it up. Like, what?
I mean, if the guy was wearing like a suicide vest,
maybe.
Right? If he's like a suicide bomber, I mean, what could the guy possibly have gotten or done? And they let him walk past him, like you said. I mean,
he's
I don't know what his shirt was.
Wait, come here.
I don't know what happened at the scene there. It all seems quite weird, and we don't know. But I can tell you that shooting someone in the back seven times, no matter what, is just crazy, man.
It is crazy.
And especially in this day and age when there's so many unarmed black people being shot all over the place. And then, of course, the president and his team is like, well, a lot of white people are getting shot, too. I'm like, that's not mitigating the situation here, bro. Cops don't need to be fucking shooting people. They're not the army. You know, cops are not the army. And calling in a bunch of yahoos who just happen to be able to afford a $200 gun to help you and just be like, yeah, sure. It's insane. Now I'm on my soapbox.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I don't want to be on a soapbox ever. And like this whole thing, I've never been so on a soapbox with people that have opposed me.
Yeah.
And then I got friends that like are right along with me completely. And they're just like, but this, I was like, no, I was there. And they don't hear that. And I'm like, no, I seen it. I'm for you, man. I'm for these people. I'm against the insiders. I'm against, you know, we got labeled as anti-protesters at one point. I was like,
I believe it.
Holy cow, anti-protesters. That's so far from the truth. We're almost like the protesters' sidearm of peace. Like, yeah, that's almost what it is.
You know how like they used to have like on mini bikes or something, they have a little governor so the engine won't rev too high. You're just trying to keep the guys, we're trying to keep you out of trouble.
Man, we're a broken governor. we were a broken governor that night just trying to do the best we could.
But dude, I have to say that your whole idea was quite heroic, and I haven't heard anybody else talking about. Obviously, people go to help put out fires, but the idea to show up with a fire extinguisher is kind of extraordinary. I really think that it's kind of a fabulous story. I didn't even know that when we agreed to talk to you. And I'm happy you were there. It's just so devastating that all that kind of shit has to happen, man.
Yeah, you know? It is. And it's our town. It's our town. Like before we moved here, I wasn't really part of a community. I've always been kind of like, I don't know. Some people either really love me, and a lot of people misunderstand me and hate me. Like that, I'm always that guy. They're like, I don't know if I like this guy. This guy's, he's a troublemaker. Because I've always been kind of a troublemaker. I went to a bonfire one time and put a brand new gasoline can on top of it with water. I walked up, I was like, who's ready for a party? And I poured out the water. I was like, put it on the bonfire, and people scattered for their lives. It was hilarious. And I just stood there, and a bunch of my friends are like, why are you doing that shit? I was like, that's how I always used to be. And now that I got kids and a wife, I'm more responsible on the stuff. And then you tend to be like, dude, don't do stupid shit like that.
I think you'll like this. This is what a friend used to tell me about us. And he said, people either love you and learn to hate you, or they hate you and they learn to love you.
You're just on that thing going back and forth sometimes. So
back and forth.
Yeah, we're all. But you see, again, I think probably your background as being kind of a hellion or a hellraiser, it's a skateboarder doing his own thing, is what made you think, I'm going to go there with fire extinguishers. I think most people would think, yeah,
I'm not sitting home. I'm not like sitting home, not in my town. And like, that's another thing. Like people are like, well, you're going to go do that in Antioch, because they were scared that Antioch was going to pop off next. I'm like, I can't. That's not my town. I stepped foot in that town. We had a lot of people stopping people that were coming into Kenosha, like with Illinois plates. And people are just like, get the fuck out of here. Don't even come here. Like, we got this.
Well, again, this is one of the things that I thought about when we first started talking, that you see this stuff on TV happening and you never really imagined it's going to happen in your town. But then when it happens, you realize you got to shit or get off the pot, kind of. I mean, you don't have to obviously be crazy to the ultimate limit, but if you want to be involved in helping to change things or helping to protect things or save people,
you have to step out.
I had a fantasy about, like, when everything was starting to get real heated in the group, I was like, man, it would be so great to just hijack a crop dusting plane and just drop a bunch of weed, like big clouds of weed on this whole group. And like everybody out here and just get everybody super high. I don't even get high, but I'm like, that would be a great thing. That would be a hero that everybody.
Even some kind of Zoloft or something. Yeah. Just some kind of thing to pass them all out.
Everybody. That would be so great. It's hard to joke about stuff. And I've come down on some friends that have joked about Anthony passing away. I was like, I got no room for that. There's definitely some humor. During the night, there was a guy walking around like Spider-Man. He was dressed like Spider-Man. At one point, it was before shit started popping off. I was like, when are you going to do something, man? And, the humor was there at that point because nobody had gotten hurt. And it's tough because how do you deal with the humor of this whole thing? Because there was no humor when Blake got shot 7 times in front of his kids. Sometimes it's the only way people can deal with it. And I have some close friends that have dealt with humor and I'm like, man, it might be too soon for that with me. And that's a subject that I find no humor in. And overall, I don't find no humor in any of this, even though we're laughing about stuff because
that's just the way we are. We're laughing about some alternative scenario. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And I always have to tell people, if we're trying to make humor of some of the craziness in this thing, is like, end of day, you just hope for everything to go in a direction better than was yesterday. That's, I guess, the best thing to do. So
I think that's a great way to end it. Thank you very much for your time and telling your story.
It's great talking to you, man. I was dreading this, to tell you the truth. I hate to say this, but like, it's the truth, upfront truth. I dread dealing with anybody I don't know exactly. And I'm like, interviews are really rough because I've done interviews for stuff in skateboarding and stuff in the past. And I'm just like, I'm one of those people that, like, I've told people this time and time again. I was like, man, I just want to sit behind the curtains and cause trouble all the time. And that night, that's what I couldn't do. I couldn't do that. There was no trouble for me to cause that night.
There's going to be no humor there.
Yeah, no. And I wasn't going to be an inciter, even though on a daily basis, I incite stuff like humorously to cause trouble that's harmless. But that night, there was no humor to be incited. And like, it's so sad where we're at now and seeing all the damage. And now Trump claims that he's going to put money towards repairs in Kenosha. Like, how about you start with the police department and making all those people have body cams and make them wear them, so stuff protects them and the other people. And you know what? I told Tim, Tim's the one that connected us. And I had told him that, it's kind of ironic that like the Blue Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter have the same BLM. It's just like, if those two things could come together somehow magically, if there's some kind of wizard that could do that, it would be amazing, because then you'd have this group that just is like together, because they're both fighting for the same thing essentially on a weird level. And if they could just get together, man, it would be so unstoppable.
I just think policing is going to have to change the way it goes about things. It just cannot be a fucking army. They have to be able to talk to people and try to work
things out.
Systems
broke. It's a broken system, just like the politics in the United States. The systems are broke to benefit certain people in certain situations. And if you can implement stuff in place that stops the lies or the backpedaling on people doing stuff the wrong way, then there's nothing to do. You know, a cop does something, shoots somebody wrongfully, well, they're going to be put in a jail for cops. So nobody kills them. You know, they're that's with other cops that did stuff wrong.
Right.
Or, you know, that's it. Just responsibility and accountability.
There's so many different ways that society could be better served and more enjoyable and more loving, and all of us would be in a better place. And not to bring things down to too simplified a thing, but I think first things first, if we can vote Donald Trump out of office, at least it's a step in the right direction.
That just might.
I agree. And we just hope that stuff, you know, I'm totally for that. I know you guys are anti-Trump because of what he's done. You know, it's a no-brainer to me and you and a lot of other people, but a lot of people, they take more convincing. Maybe they should watch more interviews and just see what he says.
Exactly. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't – I don't know. It's going to be close. It's going to be a close – it's going to be a dogfight down to the end. I'll tell you, when you were talking about standing behind the curtains and raising hell, it's like when I was a kid, I got out of high school in 1981, and we were all – both my brother and I had our ears pierced before our mother did in Texas. Believe me, people were not happy about that shit.
Whoa.
And at one time I went somewhere, and my dad was like, dude, is that how you've been addressed? You know, and he told me, he goes, listen, Trace, you can't wreck the party if they won't let you in. So for a long time, I always thought about, God, you have to stand up straight. you got to be able to get in there if you really want to stir the pot. If you want to get behind the curtain and – manipulate things, you're gonna have to kind of work at like bluffing your way in. Anyway,
I know you're right. Your dad was right, full on.
Yeah, he wouldn't give me a gun either. I'm telling you, he would not even let me keep. I had my own guns. He'd lock them up.
Give me a gun. I'd shoot my foot off when I was little.
You know, can you imagine in a different time where, you know, they talk about parents all the time getting in trouble for doing something with their kids that's kind of irresponsible. I mean, I can't think of anything fucking crazier than giving your kid a semi-automatic weapon, driving him however far, and just dropping him off.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's crazy.
Nothing will surprise me anymore.
No. Nothing does surprise me. We got turns coming in the future that are going to be crazy too, I'm sure. It's just like, who knows? The meteor hits. Everybody's like, oh, there's a meteor coming. I was like, that's the least surprising thing to me.
Have you ever heard this? Some friends of mine in Austin are in a band called We Are the Asteroid.
Yeah.
I think humans, we are probably going to blow this shit up. Yeah, you should check them out. They're a pretty cool band. Anyway, hey, man, great talking to you. I really appreciate it, Jim. Ben, it was the
thank
best.
You.
Cool. Ciao, man. Have a great
day.
Thanks, man. Best
you too.
To your family.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
With less than 60 days until the election, if Jim's story doesn't inspire you to learn to wheat paste Ixnay posters, I'm not sure what will. Go to ixnaypack.org/merch and step up your local presence like Jim and company did in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Daylight is burning. So, thanks again for listening. And if you're out on your bike tonight or your skateboard, remember, the nature of your oppression is the aesthetic of our anger. Ixnay.